It is the State Capitol Report on the morning show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. We're in conversation with Wisconsin Property Taxpayers Incorporated. It's a lobbying group for property owners advocating for property tax relief, credits, and local aid. They're at the forefront of ongoing talks about the future of the personal property tax, the tax businesses pay on things like furniture and equipment, fixtures. Call in with your questions, your thoughts on state taxes, 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org. John Jacobson directs government and member relations for Wisconsin Property Taxpayers. John, welcome back to the Ideas Network.
Oh, Kate, thanks for having me. I'm so glad to be here. I was actually just thinking about the last time I was on the show. I was in studio. It was a pandemic ago, and we were talking about eminent domain for bike paths.
Yes,
so
we
I'm
were.
Glad to be back.
I remember distinctly, and here we are now, several years later, and turning to personal property tax, which has really been in debate. Now it seems Governor Evers and Republican leadership in the legislature both say they're open to eliminating the personal property tax. How would you describe this tax? What can you tell us about it?
Yeah, so I get this a lot because people hear about the personal property tax, and then I'll get an email from somebody in the general public saying, thank you so much, I won't pay property taxes anymore on my home. So unfortunately, that's not what this is. But this is a huge win for our Main Street businesses throughout the state. So just a little bit of a history lesson for people who are not familiar. Predating statehood even, this was the original tax of sort of the Wisconsin territory, and the assessor, if you want to call it that, would come around and they would tax all of your tangible personal property, so your wedding ring or your bed sheets or your dresser drawers or your chairs, things like that. Anything that you owned was subject to a personal property tax, all tangible goods. And so since then, we've, of course, enacted the income tax and the sales tax. And so the state has sources of revenue from the general public. And so individuals don't pay this anymore. Businesses do. But then when you go down the timeline, you see that manufacturing had exemptions and agriculture had exemptions and this industry and that industry. And so what we're left with now are small businesses. If you think your Main Street cafe or art gallery or restaurant, your Main Street businesses paying taxes on their furniture and their fixtures. So if you can imagine being a small business owner in a post-COVID economy, trying to make ends meet with rising costs and certainly a lot of other concerns, and then you get a property tax bill for, like, your tables and chairs. And so we've been trying to get rid of this because it is just, we think, just non-uniformly applied, obviously, and impacts our small businesses across the state even more.
And in 2020, these taxes, personal property taxes, raised $200 million for state coffers, about 2% of the total state revenue. And so your organization, the priority here is to eliminate the tax. What impact might that have overall in our state?
Sure. Well, let me just say really quickly, too, it doesn't actually raise $200 million for state coffers. It actually raises $200 million for local governments. Mm. So property taxes are actually levied at the local level, not the state level, unless you're a manufacturer, and then the state levies your property taxes. But so what we're proposing and what everybody is really on board with here is making sure that the state uses revenues on the state level to provide backfill to local governments, because we don't want our local governments to have to suffer through making up this revenue just to get rid of this tax. And so we would fully backfill all local governments and make them whole financially for the repeal of this tax.
So fully backfill local governments. So you would definitely see more stress on state coffers in order to do that.
Yeah, we do have a historic nearing $7 billion surplus currently, and this $200 million we feel is a very, very small dollar amount when it comes to making sure that our small businesses are on level playing fields with one another and with big businesses. And with online retailers, I might add, too, who don't have to pay this tax but can conduct commerce in a way where they're avoiding paying certain taxes, and this personal property tax being one of them. So for the people who are, again, operating and taking a gamble in their community, opening a business, employing people, providing good food, or whatever the business might be, they're still being saddled with this tax, and we find that very unfair.
The Evers administration also bringing up some debate over whether utility taxes should be included, which could cost the state tens of millions of dollars. How extensive should this tax rollback be, and what are your insights there?
Well, I think that what I can speak to is the full dollar amount is just about $200 million to get rid of the entire tax. And again, there were things that were added in statute. Again, we call this a Swiss cheese tax because it's just full of holes, and different industries over time have added exemptions. And so, again, the $200 million would go from the state level to local governments to provide backfill. As far as utilities, I can't speak to that. I don't work for the utilities, and I'm not working on that particular part of the legislation, but I do think that overall this is a great economic benefit. And I might add too, Kate, you know, we're the only state, one of the only remaining states in America to levy this tax, but the only state in the Midwest to do so. Most recently, Michigan repealed this tax, I want to say about 5 years ago, and according to some of their groups, they've seen over an additional $1 billion in economic activity because of the repeal, because it keeps dollars in small businesses' pockets, which they then turn around and reinvest in their workforce and in new equipment, et cetera.
What's the sticking point then in our legislature?
I think that it's all about helping small business, and I've been very, very heartened by meetings that I've had and with my colleagues in the state capitol talking to people on both sides of the aisle about repealing this tax. I think everybody recognizes that we need to get rid of this tax, that it is impacting small businesses, like you wouldn't believe. I mean, when you talk to a small business owner, a lot of the times this is the first thing that comes up. When are we going to get rid of this tax? So I think on both sides of the aisle, everybody recognizes it's time to get rid of this. The big question was, how do we make sure that local governments aren't losing revenue? And that's the next big question, too, is shared revenue in the state budget currently. But we wanted to make sure that we didn't have to be part of that next conversation. So we wanted to support giving these local governments their backfill completely. So that's the sticking point. I mean, as long as we make sure that our local governments are kept whole and that they're not seeing any kind of negative financial burden from this repeal, I think everybody is on board.
John Jacobson with us, chief lobbyist for Wisconsin Property Taxpayers, Inc., as we talk about state politics and tax policy going forward, personal property tax in focus here. You can call in with your questions and what's on your mind, 800-642-1234, email ideas at WPR.org. John, Governor Evers says his budget plan would cut taxes for nearly 2 million low and middle class earners by nearly $840 million. Why focus on the personal property tax when an income tax cut could potentially affect many households?
Well, we're the Wisconsin Property Taxpayers Association, so just by our name, that's what we're going to focus on. Mm-hmm. And so that's sort of what we're going to stick to in the state budget. I can't speak to an income tax. We certainly have thoughts on the sales tax. I know that a lot of our membership, they appreciated the income tax reduction, but they didn't feel like there was enough that was being done to support small businesses in the last budget. We're going to stick to property taxes and our initiatives that we're working on in the state budget.
So the state sales tax, though, there are a lot of insights there for shared revenue, the governor wanting to send a large share of the state sales tax back to local governments. What is your blueprint for state sales tax and how it should be divvied up?
We're operating in this sort of double-edged sword right now where levy limits were put into place on local governments to protect property taxpayers from runaway property taxes. But when you see prices rise due to inflation and costs of services that even local governments have to provide, what you're seeing is that they're not able to even provide those services either, and they can't raise their property taxes to meet those challenges as well. And so by providing more shared revenue, I think that we would put our local governments in a great place where they would not have to rely so much on property taxpayers, and they can also rely on this 20% of sales tax that Governor Evers has proposed. And so I think it actually would work out in a really, really great way. I know that leaders in the legislature and the governor are working on this issue. It's obviously in the governor's budget. I don't know what it will look like coming out of the final product that is the state budget, but I certainly hope there is something that provides shared revenue for local governments, increases in shared revenue. What we will not support as an organization is a provision in Governor Evers' budget that would allow for a 2% annual property tax increase from counties and local governments to homeowners every year. We don't think that people can afford that. We think that the shared revenue increases will cover those costs, particularly when the governor has earmarked, I think it was a certain percentage for public safety. I think it was about 43% for public safety. And so we think that that will help cover costs. And then there'll be another budget in another 2 years, and we can reassess and see how the new program has looked should it be enacted.
Talking about tax policy as lawmakers debate the next two-year state budget, John Jacobson here, Director of Government and Member Relations for Wisconsin Property Taxpayers. Be part of our conversation, calling in with your questions, your thoughts, 800-642-1234. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. You're listening to the State Capitol Report here on The Morning Show on the Ideas Network. It is the State Capitol Report on The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Tax revenues, they fund government activities and services like roads and schools. They fund entitlement programs. We learn about the interests of the Wisconsin Property Taxpayers Group, what areas they're focused on in relieving tax burden and why. Call in with your questions, your thoughts on taxation, 800-642-1234, email ideas at WPR.org. John Jacobson here, Director of Government and Member Relations for Wisconsin Property Taxpayers. John, we heard from Andrew in Lancaster, wants to know if the historic budget surplus that is projected to be more than $7 billion to start the new budget cycle, if that is due to an increase in revenue, or is this historic surplus a result of borrowing?
I think it's an increase in revenue. I think that there's been a lot of relief money that's been sent from the federal government throughout the country to individuals, to governments, to local governments, to schools. That spurs a lot of economic activity, and I think that it's basically coming through the sales tax is essentially my understanding.
So really there was this influx of the one-time federal pandemic relief funds that have fueled this surplus. Is that what I'm hearing?
I would say that. I might not say one time. I may say it may be ongoing until people don't have money, you know, reserved or saved up or waiting for a certain project, and that might be local government, that might be local schools who certainly have had a massive influx in COVID relief money that they haven't spent yet. And so I think that, you know, you may see a lot of these revenues continue to be boosted by that throughout in the short term.
As we talk about shared revenue, Assembly Speaker Robin Basso said he'd only support raising state payments to local governments alongside what he calls spending reforms for local governments. Should there be additional limits on how local governments can spend this money?
Sure, yeah. And I think that this is where this is where it gets dicey, and I think that there's a lot of contention sometimes in local communities about things. So we don't, for example, take positions on local referenda. But to get to the speaker's point in a moment, but so what I'm hearing from members a lot is, well, my local government just asked me to raise my taxes for police and for roads, but they didn't ask me to raise my taxes for a new library renovation or a new skate park that they wanted to build. All are great things, right? But they may not feel that the latter are necessarily as critical as roads and police and emergency services. So what the big question is, why do they come to us to fund the critical things at the end instead of funding those things, you know, from go and then asking us to, you know, raise our property taxes for a park or for a library renovation? And so people have different values. They see things as more critical than others, whether that be the park. You know, you may be very, very happy about that. But I think that a lot of times local governments have certain revenues, have to provide certain services, but then suddenly they're coming up short, and property owners want to know why. It can't all be that they're not getting enough money from Madison. Certainly property taxes have basically stagnated over the past 10 years, but local governments also through growth can expand their tax bases and raise their levies that way. And so I think that the speaker is onto something. I think that we certainly would support spending reforms because a lot of money is being spent in areas that would be seen by some as not as critical as others.
Along those lines, state law limits local governments from raising property taxes. And in December last year, the Wisconsin Policy Forum, they had a report found communities are more frequently raising their own property taxes through voter referendums. Should local governments have fewer limits on how they go about raising taxes?
I would certainly think that our organization would support things like, you know, having levy limit exceptions for things like police or fire and things like that. But again, I think it comes down to what are you funding, right? Like, again, if in the same budget year your local government has spent, you know, $90 million on renovating a library and they're going to taxpayers to say we need $40 million to hire new police officers and to fix an aging bridge, the big question becomes, why did you prioritize the library over public safety? You know, and so, again, I think it comes down to that. Now, there are certain ways a growth factor is how they can raise property taxes currently. So if your area sees a net new growth in construction of a certain percent, they may raise the property tax levy, through new growth and development in your area. And so I don't think that they're as constricted as some might have you believe, but certainly we would like to see the state do more, especially because they've stagnated over the past couple of decades on shared revenue payments. We would like to see the state do more to send that money back to local governments, because that's where it originated from in the first place, by the way, is local communities paying sales tax. So some of that money should be going back to communities, particularly when we have a large surplus.
And along the lines of the what are you funding type question, in the personal property tax, Kenneth from Beloit wants to know, how does $200 million get divided among local governments? How does the government decide how much money cities, villages, and towns get?
So we know how much they'll get because it'll be reimbursed. The town would say, this is how much we brought in personal property taxes. Usually, and so they tell the Department of Revenue, this is, you know, that they essentially apply for reimbursement, which happens with all kinds of things. Every one of the exemptions that have been enacted on the personal property tax over time, such as computers and fax machines and cash registers, the state government already fully reimburses local governments for that. So this would be added to an already existing infrastructure for reimbursement.
Talking about state politics and tax policy with John Jacobson here, chief lobbyist for Wisconsin Property Taxpayers. You can join in the conversation at 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org. Last week, Republican State Representative Scott Allen of Waukesha proposed requiring state government to reimburse the total cost local governments spend on most services for state buildings. And Allen says the change would return roughly $30 million to local governments. What can you say about this? Do you support this idea?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I think that state government has a lot of property throughout the state, and when an emergency or there's an infrastructure problem or they need their trash picked up occurs on that property, local taxpayers are funding that. And of course they should, right? The state shouldn't go out and hire its own garbage trucks to drive from Madison to Ashland and pick up the trash. But why this hasn't been done, I have not gotten any answers yet. And I did put in some calls late in the week last week when he introduced the budget motion. But certainly it should be reimbursed. If services are being provided by local taxpayers to these state-owned properties, yes, absolutely. We were very, very happy to see that. That will be something that we're supporting in the state budget.
Did this come as a surprise to you?
I was very surprised because I had heard about this in the past, but you know, it was not coming up that often. I wasn't hearing local governments talking about this that often as a priority. And so it did come as a surprise when I saw this last week. And I thought, wow, it really has just been lingering in the background. And I'm glad that Representative Allen of Waukesha has brought this out into the public eye. And we'll certainly do everything we can to make sure that crosses the finish line.
A more specific question here from Allison in Mount Pleasant wants to know if you can give some explanation how Foxconn in Mount Pleasant has affected taxes in that village. Allison says that Foxconn is touted as the largest property taxpayer, but says that their property taxes have gone up significantly. What can you tell us there?
Yeah, I'm very sorry, Alice. I can't speak to the Foxconn arrangement. Unfortunately, we can affect property taxes at the state level, but as far as local cases, I can't speak to that. I would have to take a look. But I would ask Alice to reach out to info@wptonline.org, send us an email, kind of explain it to us. We will have our staff look into it, and I would be happy to provide an answer or help her understand why it's going up. We would just need to have some more information.
We have less than a minute left, John, but as you look at how the budget process is going, what do you have an eye on, and what is going to be most significant here as this two-year budget comes together in very few months?
Well, we've seen a few pieces of standalone legislation from our friends in the legislature that we would like to actually see included in the budget. Among those, Governor Evers did include property tax relief for veterans with service-related disabilities. So we would hope that makes it into the final bill. Also, a property tax credit for seniors who are in their homes and are on fixed incomes, as well as property tax relief for our state's farmers on their structures, such as barns, sheds, things like that. We want to provide relief to our farmers, our seniors, and our disabled vets, and that'll be our priority moving forward in this state budget.
So very specific groups there. John, thank you so much for joining us.
Yes, absolutely. Thank you, Kate. I really appreciate it.
John Jacobson, Government and Member Relations Director for Wisconsin Property Taxpayers, Inc. On the State Capitol Report, I'm Kate Archer-Kent. You're listening to The Morning Show here on the Ideas Network.